as an Israeli and a Jew and ex-army person is to be supportive of that and to follow their call. And that's what I encourage other people to do now.
Do you have a sense that other Israelis that you've worked with are undergoing a similar shift as a result of the Gaza war and things that have happened since?
Yes and no. I see both things happening. People becoming more clear with their views and more supportive with boycott and international pressure. But I also see the opposite. I see people that just living here, surrounded by people who are blind or, you know, in a way infected with this militaristic point of view on the conflict, and you know, influenced by the propaganda and by the mainstream media. Even people that were very active before and you know, very close to my opinion and my friend's opinion earlier, some of them are changing their mind and becoming more and more mainstream. And this extreme situation that we have here has an effect on both sides. It affects people to... The answer is yes, I see more people agreeing, but I see also many people becoming more and more militaristic and mainstream and completely sheltering themselves in a way from reality. For example, this guy, that friend of mine, that he's so much against occupation that he refuses to cross the green line. But this refusal of him to cross the green line is just an easy way for him not to participate in any of the demonstrations, any of the events with Palestinians. He's preventing him from going and seeing the checkpoint and seeing the ghettos and the wall and the towers and the army actions. So there are many ways people find solutions for themselves to live in this extreme situation.
Right. So that, talking about the kind of backlash or people having a little bit of a backlash against events, maybe is a good transition to talking about the Shabak interview. First of all, just very quickly for people who are not familiar with the Israeli security apparatus, how would you say what Shabak is and what they do?
Shabak is like, I guess, FBI, or it's a secret internal security services. Their job, according to the government, is to deal with any security threat from within Israel and the occupied territories. And the interesting thing is that I was summoned to a talk that was, they said that it's just a talk, I'm not a suspect, but, you know, when the Shabak is calling you and wanting to talk to you, it's kind of an interrogation, whether you call it interrogation or not, right. Especially when they keep asking you political questions, and wanting to know what are your activities. In my case, with the BDS movement, and you know, even if it was something illegal, which is not, it was something that the police should have dealt with. The fact that the Shabak is now interrogating people or talking to people or threatening people, in my case, that are doing political activities and, you know, non-violent anti-occupation activity is showing us that at least they in the system look at it as a security threat, and by that criminalize many people that have different opinions than our government. was asked many times during the talk if I know that soon the BDS activity and the call for a boycott is going to be against the law if this law would pass in the Knesset in the next few weeks or months. And it's amazing that, you know, someone can be interrogated and threatened for breaking a law that is not existing yet. Ridiculous in a way, but this is, you know, the Shabak is doing whatever they want. You know, sometimes there is a little bit of control over it, but overall, when they want to put something, someone in jail, and you know, sue someone or charge someone in court, in most of the cases, they present evidence to the judge that the defendant, you know, the lawyers of the suspect cannot even see, and people are sitting in prisons for years for something like that.
Yeah. Does that include Israeli citizens? Are there Israeli citizens who've been locked up with unsecret evidence?
There is now Amir Mahul, who is an Israeli citizen from, you know, a Palestinian citizen of Israel from Haifa, who is in jail for several months already. And we don't know exactly what is the what are the charges against him.
Right. Yeah, we've written about him.
There were other cases of a guy. There are many cases, but I can just mention another one. A guy called Samir Jabarin, who lives in Yaffa. And during the Operation Gaslit, he organized demonstrations in, I think, his hometown or parents' hometown in Umm El Fahr. And as a result of that, he was in house arrest for several months. So it's really important to understand that even though it's not so nice to start the day with a phone call from Rona of the Shabak, if I was not an Israeli Jew, ex-pilot, officer, etc., big chances are that I was, you know, I would have been still there. I would have been still arrested. Yeah. The fact that I am from the privileged side of this apartheid, you know, half-democratic state, is what gave me the, you know, exclusive treatment that they got.
Yeah. So your account of it was like very well written to read, and it comes off, I have to say, as funny